Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, January 7, 2025, Zechariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah. New Old Testament book, Zechariah. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. It says, this is a message from Hal Lindsey, but he's in heaven, so it's not from him directly. By Tom Gilbreth, The Troubled World of 2025. The January 2nd edition of the Times of India summarized a story of evil breaking out from the shadows in Great Britain. Over a period spanning years, the Yorkshire town of Rotherham experienced one of Britain's most severe child exploitation cases. An independent inquiry found that no fewer than 1,400 minors were victimized through systematic abuse. The majority of victims were young girls who were targeted, manipulated, and trafficked by organized groups of men, most of whom were of Pakistani background. As horrific as that is, it gets worse. It's not just that these atrocities were taking place, but that people who should have stepped in and helped the children, people whose job it was to help them, refused to get involved. The Times went on to say the crimes were compounded by institutional failures, despite victims repeatedly coming forward. Law enforcement and social services consistently failed to take appropriate action to protect the children. Today, the unlikely duo of Elon Musk and J.K. Rowling are among those trying to hold the British government to task for its neglect. But grooming gangs, also known as rape gangs, are not limited to the United Kingdom. They are everywhere. Can God's judgment be far behind? The Old Testament scripture shows God's amazing level of forbearance. Of course, we study the Old Testament here. A lot of churches don't. My son visited a church, and pastor wanted to know what I was teaching, and Derek told him I was teaching in the Old Testament on Tuesday, and you mean he's teaching from the Old Testament scriptures? Yes. You don't see that very often in any local church today in America. The Old Testament shows God's amazing level of forbearance. First, he warns against sin. Then he sends his prophets. He fires shots across the bow. And finally, he brings judgment. Of course, we know what this is, the five cycles of national discipline and the removal of the client nation to God. Look closely. His judgment was usually triggered by the abuse of children. In Matthew 18:6, Jesus said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of to sin, some translations say to stumble. Others, like the original Living Bible, say causes one of these little ones who trusts in me to lose his faith. The Greek word means to entrap. Today, much of public education is intent on causing children to sin, to lose faith, and to be entrapped by the cosmos diabolicus, the world system bent on evil. Can God's judgment be far behind in the United States of America? Except where it coincides with biblical truth, the politics of our elected leaders are neither the cause nor the answer to our fundamental dilemmas as a civilization. Local churches have the answer, but most of them sit in silence, hands covering eyes, ears, and mouths. Churches cover their eyes because they don't want to see the tsunami of evil rushing up the shorelines of the world. They cover their ears because they don't want to hear what God says about it in His Word. They cover their mouths because they don't want to address this sin and evil. Bible-based churches hold the message of hope and redemption the world so desperately needs, but most of them lack the virtue, love, and the courage to speak out. In 2025, we need all hands on deck. Make this a season of prayer, virtue, love, and consistent and faithful communication of God's Word. That's what we need in America. You want to make America great again? That's what will make America great again. Right there. Consistent and faithful communication of the God-breathed Scriptures. That's what we need. That's what we don't have. Not politics. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. And by the way, you say Pastor Olson's yelling at us. Can Pastor Olson be in fellowship, filled with the Spirit, and yell at you? I gave my mother years ago some of the Colonel's classes to listen to. I was so excited. I said, Mom, what do you think about that? The classes I gave to you. Well, he doesn't have to yell. I said, but did you hear what he was yelling about? That's the key. What was he yelling about? And you see, a faithful pastor looks at what's going on in the nation, our client nation, which I love. I love America. I love what that flag stands for. I love the freedoms that it stands for. But as goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. And the only hope for America is spiritual revival. The only hope for America is the grace gospel proclaimed all over the nation, many sons brought into glory, but more importantly than that, all of these Christians living in Satan's cosmic system have to come to their senses, rebound, get back into fellowship with God, and then reversion recovery. Seek out a sound Bible teaching church and get your patootie in there and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Attain spiritual maturity. Have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, so that the pivot will increase. And if the pivot increases, why, we may be like Isaiah's day and Jesus Christ wipes out 185,000 Assyrians. We don't have Assyrians as a problem, but that's the hope for America. That's the only hope for America. Make America great again? Yes, I would love to have America great again. But it will be when the pivot of mature believers increases. Because right now we are headed right down the slopes of apostasy and degeneracy. And one day it could be 1,000 different ways that God brings judgment and there's no more United States of America. I know this, I think the rapture is not that far away. But one thing I know, in the tribulation, there is no United States of America. None. Nada. Kaput. Not even mentioned. There is no USA. So what happened? What happened to the USA? Judgment. And just think, when the rapture occurs, all believers are gone. And who is left? Democrats. We are in deep doo-doo right there, I tell you. All right, well, we're in this great book, Zechariah. And I've set up for every book that I teach a protocol. Protocol of introduction. And we've gone through most of that protocol. Title, The English title Zechariah is a transliteration of the Hebrew name Zechariah, which means whom the Lord remembers. And this title certainly applies to Zechariah, the great prophet and servant of the Lord, but it also applies to Israel, since this entire prophecy is an exposition of the fact that the Lord remembers Israel. And then, secondly, the section of the Hebrew canon. Well, Zechariah is a part of the Hebrew canon known as the Nevi'im, the prophets. This comes from the Hebrew noun Navi, prophet. The prophets, Nevi'im, made up the second division of the Old Testament scriptures. The Jews divided the Old Testament scriptures into three categories: the Torah, the law, the Nevi'im, the prophets, the Ketuvim, the writings, which comes from Kathav, to write. This Jewish technical division of the Old Testament was recognized in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 24:44. The Torah, or the law, is the first five books written by Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Nevi'im, or the prophets, include eight books: Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12. The 12 is one unit, and the 12 makes up Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And the Ketuvim, or the writings, include 11 books. Three poetical books: the Psalms, the Proverbs, and Job. The biggest of these is the Psalms. So Jesus Christ mentions the third group with that largest of the books, the Psalms. Three historical books: Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Chronicles, and then the Megaloth, or the five rolls, made up of Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. Zechariah is in the second division of the Old Testament, the Nevi'im, or the prophets. The author? Well, the author is Zechariah, son of Berechiah, grandson of Iddo, Zechariah 1:1. The date of writing? Well, it covers quite a while. Started around 520 B.C. and goes all the way to about 480 B.C. That's the time of Zechariah's ministry. And Zechariah started out as a youngster. When I say a youngster, he probably started out the same time that I started out. I came here at the age of 28. Now I'm 128, see? Been here a while. Came here at the age of 28. I was a young pastor and still wet behind the ears. But prepared at Dallas Theological Seminary to study the God-breathed scriptures in the original languages and teach the God-breathed scriptures. So here was a youngster, probably in his about 28, when he started. The date of writing, circa 520 all the way through 480 B.C., the time of Zechariah's ministry. We just finished studying the book of Joel. Joel was written 300 years before Zechariah. 300 years before Zechariah. The dispensation it covers is the age of Israel. Historical background: biblical history for Zechariah is seen in the Ezra, Nehemiah, and Haggai. Zechariah and Haggai were contemporaries. The 70 years of the Babylonian captivity from the administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline had been completed, and now the nation was back in Palestine. The rebuilding of the temple had been started. The city of Jerusalem and its walls were still in ruins, and therefore Israel was exposed to her enemies. But we have a beautiful... we will have the phrase, the wall of fire. And Jesus Christ provided a wall of fire around the Jews when they came back from the the 70 years of the fifth cycle of national discipline, when they came back, Jesus Christ was the wall of fire around them and provided the walls and protected them. And then extra biblical history, well, we have two great leaders in Persia. Persia is today Iran. And at this time in history, the greatest believers on the earth were Iranians. Iranians. Cyrus and Darius. Not only were they both believers, they were both spiritually mature believers. And it was Cyrus who gave the decree for the Jews to go back. Go back to Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem and build the temple to worship the living and true God. So, the decree of Cyrus the Great in 536 B.C. presented in 2 Chronicles 36, 22 and 23. This is the historical opening for everything we have in Zechariah. Cyrus the Great was a born-again believer. He was a genius. He put together the great Persian Empire. At this time, Persia had a very large pivot of mature believers. Under the decree of Cyrus, 50,000 Jews were allowed to return to Judah. And those who returned include Zerubbabel, descendant of David, Joshua the high priest, Zechariah the prophet. 1 year later, in 535 B.C., they began to rebuild the temple, Ezra 3, 10 to 13. However, as a result of opposition from the Samaritans, the rebuilding of the temple was shut down for 15 years, Ezra chapter 4. In 521 B.C., Darius Hystaspes came to the throne of Persia. And when Darius comes to the throne, he reverses everything and encourages the rebuilding of the temple along with the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. So in 520 B.C., work on the temple is resumed. Darius Hystaspes is also a born-again believer. The decree given of King Darius is in Ezra 6, 1 to 12. Darius was the leader of the Persian Empire from 522 to 486 B.C. Zechariah is the contemporary of Darius Hystaspes. During the reign of Darius, Persia was a great nation with a large pivot of mature believers. And at this time, the Persians were a far greater people than Americans today. At this time of their history, the Persians are a noble race. It started with Cyrus the Great and continued with Darius Hystaspes. And for several hundred years, Persia was a nation saturated with born-again believers who loved Jesus Christ. And Cyrus and Darius wanted the Jews to go back and build the temple to worship the living and true God. And then we have the outline, and we have it in five parts. Part one, introduction and exhortation to turn back to the Lord and His Word. Chapter 1, 1 to 6. Number 2, the visions of Zechariah, 1, 7 to 6, 8. 3, the symbolic act concluding the visions, chapter 6, 9 to 15. 4, the questions concerning fast, chapter 7, verse 1 to 8, 23. And 5th, the prophecies concerning the future, 9:1 to 14:21. Now that brings us to point 8 in our protocol of introduction. Messianic teachings of Zechariah. Messianic teachings of Zechariah. First, Christ as the branch. Christ as the branch. Chapter 3, verse 8. Two, Christ as God's servant. Also, chapter 3, verse 8. Christ as God's servant. Three, the shepherd betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. The Lord Jesus Christ betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Four, the rejection of the shepherd. Chapter 13, verse 7. Five, the entry of Christ, the Messiah, on a colt. Chapter 9, verse 9. The entry of the Messiah, Christ, on a colt. Six, the wounds in the hands and the feet of Christ, the Messiah. The wounds in the hands and the feet of Christ the Messiah. Chapter 12, verse 10. Seven. The second advent of the Messiah Christ and touching down his feet on the Mount of Olives. Chapter 14, 3 through 8. The second advent of the Messiah Christ as his feet touched down on the Mount of Olives, chapter 14, 3 through 8. Eight, Christ, the Messiah, will be king and priest. King and priest, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. So the purpose of Zechariah's ministry was to orient the Jewish people to their future, to the amazing grace plan that the living and true God has for them, for Israel, for the Jewish people. It was also the purpose of Zechariah's ministry to orient the Jewish people of the importance of the God-breathed scriptures, the importance of Bible doctrine, the importance of spiritual priorities. That had all gone by the wayside in their 70 years in exile in Babylon. The fifth cycle of national discipline. And so they needed to turn back to God and to the Word of God, to the God-breathed scriptures, and get their spiritual priorities straightened out, that the Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. And Zechariah taught them to get their spiritual priorities straightened out in their life. Well, we need that in most believers in America today. Exactly the same thing. He is showing them how Bible doctrine motivated the people to turn back to God and His Word, to repent, to change their thinking. He is showing the importance of loving the Lord their God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. Why are you here? That's why you're here. You're here to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Occupation with Jesus Christ. Zechariah also helps us, church-age believers living in Client Nation USA, to warn us to warn us about the dangers of apostasy and degeneracy. So, by way of introduction, one, the prophetic truth in Zechariah is very precious and important to us, the royal family of God, church age believers. The prophetic truth in Zechariah is very precious and important to us, the royal family of God, church age saints. Two, this is because of its unique messianic emphasis. The spotlight is on the Messiah, the Anointed One. So this is because it's of its unique messianic emphasis. Three, Zechariah gives us a panoramic unfolding of the events connected with both the first and the second advents of our Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah gives us a panoramic unfolding of the events connected with both the first and the second advents of the Lord Jesus Christ. Four, Zechariah also presents the restoration of the nation Israel in the millennial kingdom to a place of worldwide prominence. And the whole world will be blessed by association with the Jewish people and Israel in the millennial kingdom. They will be the capital of the world. And believers from every nation around the globe will come to Jerusalem for Bible conferences taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those will be awesome Bible conferences. Oh, we'll be there too, but we'll be there in our resurrection body. So we'll be there. They're there, and they're coming in their physical body. We are there in our resurrection body. But you're not going to be arrogant and go, na, 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 na. I got my resurrection body. You don't have yours. Well, some of you, and who knows what some of you are going to do. But. Five, Zechariah is the most messianic and eschatological book of all the Old Testament writings. Zechariah is the most messianic and eschatological book of all the Old Testament writings. Six, Zechariah abounds in far-reaching predictive allusions to the person, the work, and the future glory of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah abounds in far-reaching predictive allusions to the person and the work and the future glory of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Messianic flashes occur everywhere in Zechariah. Nowhere else in the Old Testament is there such a concentrated and rich revelation of messianic prophecy. The whole gamut of events clustering around Messiah's rejection at his first coming and his acceptance at his second coming, as these affect Israel and the nations, is unfolded in fullness and clarity. 7. There are two reasons why Christians should study Zechariah. Two reasons why the royal family of God should study Zechariah. First reason, first of all, because of the clear prophecies concerning Jesus Christ's person and ministry that were fulfilled in the New Testament. First of all, because of the clear prophecies concerning Jesus Christ's person and ministry that were fulfilled in the New Testament. Second is how the prophecies concerning end time events, relate, one, to Israel, two, to the city of Jerusalem, three, to the second advent of Jesus Christ, and four, worship in the millennial kingdom. So secondly is how the prophecies concerning end time events relate to Israel, the city of Jerusalem, the second advent of Jesus Christ, and worship in the millennial kingdom. 8. Zechariah wrote to provide encouragement and hope to the defeated and discouraged people of Israel who had just recently been delivered from 70 years in exile in Babylon. Zechariah wrote to provide encouragement and hope to the defeated and discouraged people of Israel who had just recently been delivered from 70 years in exile in Babylon. He revealed that God had not forgotten them. God had not forgotten the Jewish people and taught the nation of God's grace and power and love for them. He revealed that God had not forgotten them and taught the nation, the Jewish people, of God's grace and power and love for them. All right. Here we go. Zechariah 1:1-6. Introduction and exhortation to turn back. To turn back to the Lord and His Word. In the first part of that, Zechariah 1:1-3, Zechariah's call for repentance. And this is true, the biblical concept of repentance. Now, there, in the New Testament, there are two words. Unfortunately, the King James Version had horrible translations on these words. First is the word metamelomai. Metamelomai. This is translated in the King James most of the time, repent. It does not mean to repent. Never did mean to repent. That's a totally different word, metanoeo. This is metamelomai. This means to regret. This is emotions. This is emotions. You regret. But it's not repent. This is not. But it's translated, unfortunately, in the King James, repent. The word for repent is metanoeo. Metanoeo. Meta, to change. And noeo, your thinking. Change your thinking. That's repent. Change from negative volition to positive volition. That's repent. Change from arrogance to humility. Respect for God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it today in the church age. That's repent. Change your thinking. That's what we need in Client Nation USA. So Zechariah 1:1-3, Zechariah is called to repentance. Zechariah 1:1 starts out, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius Hystaspes, spiritually mature believer. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a winner believer. And he wants the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple to worship the living and true God. Get back to spiritual priority. This is coming from an Iranian, Darius. In the eighth month in the second year of Darius, this is the preposition bath prefixed to the noun kodesh, plus the definite article prefixed to the adjective shemoneh, plus the preposition bath prefixed to the construct of shana, plus the noun shenayim, plus the preposition lama prefixed to the noun dariavish. That's Darius. The preposition bath. Bishava, in. In, and then Kodesh. Hashmini, in the eighth month. In the eighth month. Kodesh Hashmini. In the eighth month, that is the eighth month, is October. In the Jewish calendar, the first month of the Jewish calendar is April, and this is the eighth month, which is October in the Jewish calendar. Then the preposition bath is repeated in Shana Shenayim, in the second year. And then the proper noun Dariavesh, which is Darius. So the corrected translation, in the eighth month of the second year of Darius. And then this is October 520 BC. So this is October 520 BC, in the eighth month of the second year of Darius. Came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah. This is the construct of the noun davar, joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton, plus the cal perfect of haya, the Hebrew to be verb, the prepositional phrase el, joined by a makef to the proper noun Zechariah, plus the noun navi with the definite article. So we start out, devar, Jehovah. Devar and the tetragrammaton. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, and then the verb haya, the Hebrew to be verb. H-A-Y-A-H, Haya. The Hebrew to be verb, it means to fall out or to happen. It means to come about, to come to pass. It means to come into being, to become. It means to come into existence. And then the preposition L. Aleph, E-L, L. Preposition L denotes motion toward, direction toward, to, unto, and then Zechariah HaNavi, the definite article, Navi, the prophet. Zechariah the prophet. So the corrected translation. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, that's October 520 B.C., the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet. And then we have the son of Berechiah, and then we also have the son of Iddo, saying. So this is the noun bain, joined by a makef to the proper noun Berechiah, plus the noun bain repeated, this time joined with a makef to the proper noun Iddo. The noun bain can mean either. I'll put it up there. It's the word. It has two uses. B-E-N. Ben. It sometimes means son. It can also mean grandson. And here we have Ben used twice. The first time it's son, correctly translated son, the son of Berechiah. The second time it's correctly translated grandson, the grandson of Iddo. So the son of Berechiah, the grandson of Iddo. Corrected translation. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet. Who is Zechariah the prophet? He is the son of Berechiah and the grandson of Iddo. All right. There, you did a good job on that first verse one. One. Again, Zechariah means he whom the Lord remembers. Or the Lord remembers. The Lord remembers. Two, his name was a reminder that God, the living and true God, would not forget his commitment to Israel. God would not forget his commitment to Israel, but would bring restoration and redemption to his people, the Jewish people. The Lord remembers. And that is true every single second of every day. And as much as the Hamas and Hezbollah and Iranians are trying to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, and they are satanic and totally evil. And what they are doing is 100% satanic and totally evil. Don't ever, ever be anti-Semitic. You are anti-Semitic in any of your thinking. You are in Satan's cosmic system. You are a loser. You are a disciple of the devil. You are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. So what is going on with Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Iranians today, obviously the Iran today is totally different than in the day of Zechariah with Cyrus and Darius. Then Iran was great and wonderful. In fact, even greater than the United States is today. But we have all these Christians and they hate Israel and the Jewish people, and they line up with Hamas and Hezbollah and the Iranians, and You are the devil's disciples. You are the problem in America, not the solution. So his name was a reminder that God would not forget his commitment to Israel, but would bring restoration and redemption to his people. Three, even today, Zechariah's prophecies reach into the future and are an ongoing testimony to Jewish people of every generation that God does not forget his promises to Israel. Even today, Zechariah's prophecies reach into the future and are an ongoing testimony to Jewish people of every generation that God does not forget his promises to Israel. Four, the name Berechiah means Jehovah blesses. The Lord blesses. Five, the name Edo means his time. The name Edo means his time. Six, together they mean the Lord remembers and blesses in his time. The Lord remembers and blesses in his time. Seven, Zechariah was one of the returnees who had been born in exile. Born in Babylon, reared in Babylon, while the Jewish people were under the fifth cycle of national discipline. Eight, after he came to Jerusalem, God called him to prophesy to the Jewish people. After he came to Jerusalem, God called him. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the prophet. So after he came to Jerusalem, God called him to prophesy to the Jewish people. Nine, Zechariah's message was clear. First of all, he called the Israelite to turn back to God and the Word of God. Turn back to God and the Word of God. Get your spiritual priorities straight. Change your thinking. Repent. Turn from negative to positive. Turn from arrogance to humility. Respect for the living and true God, respect for the Word of God, respect for the communicator of the Word of God. So he called the Israelites to turn back to God and his Word. Secondly, he called to the Israelites to finish constructing the temple that began 16 years earlier. In other words, get your spiritual priorities back in order. God and his word. Get it in order. So secondly, to commit to finish constructing the temple that had begun 16 years earlier. Like Daniel and Ezekiel, Zechariah was given a number of visions in his prophecy. 10. Zechariah was a young man when he received these visions. He was a young man. And we have that in Zechariah. Coming up, Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, 3 and 4. Then the angel who was speaking to me left, and another angel came to meet him and said to him, "Run and tell that young man." So we know he is a young man. He, like I was when I came to Upland Bible Church. "Run, tell that young man, Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of men and livestock in it." Since it doesn't have any walls, Jesus Christ provided a wall of fire to protect them from enemies outside. 11. He continued his ministry long after the last date presented in this book. The last date presented in this book is December 7, 518 B.C. But his ministry continued much longer than that. He ministered into the early reign of Artaxerxes, who ruled from 465 to 424 B.C. But he started out as a young man. Age is not the issue. No bearing on God's call to the ministry. Not only did God call Zechariah early in life, but he also called Daniel, Jeremiah, and Samuel when they were young men. So Zechariah 1:1. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the prophet, who is the son of Berechiah and the grandson of Iddo. Well, then we have verse 2, but we're going to bring that in next time. The Lord was very angry, with a great anger, with your fathers. The fifth cycle of national discipline. I mean, they had the greatest Bible teacher, one of the greatest Bible teachers in the Old Testament, Jeremiah. Fantastic Bible teacher. And they hated Jeremiah. They didn't like Jeremiah. They didn't like what Jeremiah taught. In fact, they even tried to kill Jeremiah, threw him in a pit. They wouldn't listen. And so they were negative, they were arrogant. And God, since they just said no to God, no to the Word of God, no to God's servant, the fifth cycle of national discipline was administered, and they were taken. Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans destroyed Judah, destroyed Jerusalem, slaughtered most of the people, and took the survivors to Babylon. Fifth cycle of national discipline. That's what we have in verse 2. The Lord was very angry, with a great anger, with your fathers. All right, well, we'll take it there next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace to us. Thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping with you and your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us. Father, in Plant Nation USA, that we might become a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.